As I remember, California State Polytechnic College presents another in a series of interviews with distinguished retired staff members. This one is Jim Carrington. Jim, I know you've led a very active life. Do you remember the first job you had that outside of some farm work that brought you in some money?
Can you hold it? My first job that I actually performed was with the switchboard in Las Molinas, which actually was a night job. I'd go to work at 8 o'clock and be off at 7 the next morning.
This was when you were in grammar school and in high school, Jim?
This is while I was in the 7th and 8th grade and then into the high school.
Mm-hmm. I imagine you had some interesting experiences there. You were telling me one about a Chinese customer of yours.
Yes, on this switchboard work, we also had quarters that we could sleep in and then have to answer the calls that would come in, and we'd have to wait until the talking was over before we could go back and get our sleep. So there's a Chinese cook on a ranch north of town that every morning about 2 o'clock, he'd call another Chinaman in Red Bluff, and they had talked Chinese for a half an hour, and that meant that I would be out of my bed for that period of time. So as they'd get started and going along, I'd push the button and cut them off for about, maybe a quarter of a moment, and then they'd come back and sound like a Chinese war was on. But in the meantime, though, I was extending my sleep period for a little while.
Well, then, Jim, you started working in a garage at Las Molinas while you were still in high school, and you took over the operation of that garage maybe in the mid-20s, was it?
That is right.
And you operated that for quite a few years.
Yes, that's right. I actually took the garage over and operated it until I had gotten down here to Cal Poly.
Mm-hmm. Then during that time also, the principal of the high school up there talked you into teaching some Smith Hughes Auto Shop classes. Is that right?
That was right.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what year that was that you got started in that? Around 1938, maybe?
Yeah, about 1938 through the time that I had come down to Cal Poly.
Mm-hmm. And you were able to work that in along with your operating your garage also?
That was right.
It was only, a couple of hours a day, was that
no,
it?
No, it was actually from up until 1 o'clock each day that I was with the high school.
Mm-hmm. And, Jim, you had to go back to school again to get some credential set up. That was, where did you have to go, Jim?
Well, I attended the University of California at Berkeley for three summer sessions and one summer session in University of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Now, you came down to Cal Poly in 1943, and how did it happen that you came down here, Jim?
Well, I had been having trouble with rheumatism in one of my shoulders, and I had made up my mind that I was going to pull out of there the following year. And in May, I had gotten a call from Mr. Merson stating that it might be possible that I would come down and take over the automotive equipment here at the college. The reason that he got in touch with me was through Lindsay Jewett, who formerly taught in Las Molinas and was teaching here at Cal Poly. So the arrangements were made, and I came down and looked it over, and everything looked fine. The only thing is I just held my breath for a period of a year to make sure that my shoulder was going to be all right. Mr. Merson said it would be, and which it has been, and it's have never had any more trouble.
Mm-hmm. I think you told me, too, Jim, that you were a neighbor up there of a fellow by the name of Ray Geiberger, who was the ag teacher and has a kind of a famous son. Is that right?
That's right. In my classwork there at the Los Molinos High School, we were right next door. Our shops were right next door to each other, so we worked very closely together, and we lived just one door from each other at our home, so we were very well acquainted with the Geiberger family. So when Alan started his career in the golfing work, when he was about 2 or 3 years old, he used to drag his dad's golf clubs around, and that was the beginning of it. And of course, Ray was quite an outstanding golfer in his earlier days too, and his wife included.
Well, that's real interesting, because today we can follow the program of Al Geiberger in the pro circuits, and he's been doing very well. Mm-hmm. Now, when you came down here, Jim, you went into an old shop building that at one time held the printing plant, I believe, and is no longer there. But that would have been pretty much north of the current Ag Ed building. Is that right?
That is right, yes.
And there's a little parking lot there now.
It is. Present time has been changed over to a parking lot, right.
And the equipment that you had to work with in the space was just pretty minimal, wasn't it?
Yes, it was very tight even when we pulled out of there. Earlier days we had only half a dozen pieces of equipment, so it was not too bad to work there, but it did get very crowded before we moved up into our new quarters.
Mm-hmm. And I think you told me that you only had about 6 pieces of total road equipment at that time, and how many do you have today, Jim?
Well, we have over 100 pieces of rolling stock that's rolling every day.
Well, Jim, I know that when you came here, nobody was any happier than Jim Merson was, because at that time he had all of the ag mechanics on his hand, and he had all of the motive equipment on his hands, and I think there was a period in there when he was also kind of the farm superintendent. So I guess he was pretty happy when you got here.
Yes, Mr. Merson was an outstanding man to work for, too, and I did get an awful lot of help from him in many ways, because it was hard going for a while here.
And I imagine that this 100 pieces of rolling stock that you have don't keep people any happier than the 6 pieces we had then, because we got that many more people. Is that right, Jim?
That's very true. We have a very similar problem, but with the cooperation of everyone, it goes along in very good shape.
Mm-hmm. Now, they give you some break, though. They moved the farm equipment part of that out about 1950. Is that right, Jim?
That is right. Mm-hmm.
And who took over then?
That was taken over at the farm shop by Lee Fletcher. He did have Earl Campbell, I think, was also connected with it over there.
Mm-hmm. And about that time, too, Jim, you started some teaching here at Cal Poly. What was it in, and who did you teach?
That was in ag engineering and the farm power, and mainly with foreign students.
Mm-hmm. And that was about that time was some of the first foreign students in numbers that we had here. Is that right?
That is very true.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had to stay down there in that old small wooden building for about 20 years, but I guess in the latter part of that you were helping to plan the current facilities, Jim?
That was right. And our new building turned out to be very satisfactory. We have I have lots of room there, or did have. We are now getting a little bit crowded, but not too bad. So overall, we were able to get a building that accommodated us in very good shape.
Mm-hmm. Then another thing, Jim, that I know all the college is very grateful to you for, and we always think about the services you perform, and that was in getting war surplus. Now, did that start in almost as soon as you came down here?
Very nearly so, possibly within 2 or 3 years after arriving here, why we started on this program, and it has been increasing year by year, and I think it's been a real good project for the overall college.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of this, Jim, was to get material for shop classes, steel for welding and so on?
Yes, we have actually received hundreds of tons of steel that we have purchased through surplus at a very cheap figure, and also pipe and other miscellaneous material for shop classes around the college.
And some of this provided a source of material for senior projects here in various areas?
Yes, a good deal of it has been worked out for those senior projects.
Mm-hmm. This would not necessarily be agriculture, but this would be other areas of senior projects.
That is right. All the areas.
Mm-hmm. And some of that went up to the aeronautics division up there. A lot of the surplus material went up
there.
That
is right, from small items to large airplanes that we have gotten.
Mm-hmm. Some of the things that you got in mechanical and electrical lines operating in some of the buildings here?
Yes, we have a good deal of the equipment that was purchased through surplus and still is, to accommodate the classes in machinery and equipment.
Is this all used for laboratory use or some of it in actual service?
Both ways, in laboratory classes and also for other services.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, the three college buses that you have here now, do they all come in the way of surplus?
That is right. All three of them and have been built up from other miscellaneous buses we purchased through surplus, and which would total possibly 10 in number to build the three that we have.
This is a good question. What are you able to do with the buses that are left over after you made up the three?
Well, what happens there, we do place here and there one of the old buses for a storage area, but it does finally, the majority of them actually are cannibalized and finally go to the scrapyard.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, what would you estimate is perhaps the replacement value of all of the surplus material that you've gotten since you came here?
Well, I would say that it exceeds $1 million easily, but it's hard just to come up with a figure.
Mm-hmm. Jim, the fleet of trucks that you have here, I know have been of tremendous value and use to the Agriculture Department. I guess some of them go to almost the borders of California to pick up feeders and feed and so on.
Yes, we every year we'll pick up at least a load from up around the Alturas country and haul in, and also we are picking up in the Davis area and so forth other stock.
Get feeder lambs up there?
Yes, and also for the young steers and so forth that were being used in this student project.
Then you take stock to market also, Jim?
Yes, we are almost average a load of whether it's hogs or whether it's other animals. About every 2 weeks we'll either be going over in the valley, San Francisco, or Los Angeles with a load of stock to market. Of course, there are times that it slows down, like in the summertime, but actually during school time we make a trip almost every 2 weeks, and we always make it a plan to haul back a load of feed of some sort, so we are always loaded both ways.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I also know that your operation up there gave a good many students over the years a lot of employment and enabled them, probably a lot of them, to stay in school. About what's the number that are employed there at the present time?
We have, I would say, 20. At least 20 students that are putting in all of their spare time. These students will do the working on the repairing of the vehicles, the driving of the vehicles, such as the trucks and the buses, from that to cleanup. So it's quite a little operation for the students, and quite a few dollars will come in for the help to put them through their schoolwork.
Would you have a guess as to what your total annual student payroll would come to, Jim?
I would say that working on some of the other budgets, too, that we're running somewhere around $25,000 or $30,000 a year in student labor.
And also, you have to certify any student that's operating a state vehicle, is that right?
Yes, any of the students, any and all, must go through a test and so forth in order to be able to drive a state vehicle. And this includes all of our staff. They must be certified to be able to drive a state vehicle.
Mm-hmm. How many students would you guess that are on the campus that have permits to drive state vehicles in addition to those that you directly employ up there?
Oh, I would say that they run somewhere around maybe 200-300.
Mm-hmm. Have their driving records been pretty good, Jim, over the years?
Yes, we've had an outstanding job done by these students. I'd say in the past years that we've operated there that I doubt if I've ever taken over a half a dozen student license away from a student that did not tend to his business.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think you have a shop, at least one boy on a 24-hour basis, is that right?
That is right. He is there to, he is actually lives there, and he is very helpful to the person that is operating the overall operation, because we have changes of people going out. We have an instructor decides that he has to go at 6 o'clock the next morning, and he may not inform us that he has to go until maybe 8 or 9 o'clock that evening because he did not have the information to go. So, and then the changes of people coming back from the trip, sometimes that gets filed up. So this student is making changes quite often, which would I'd have to be going over to take care of that operation.
And Jim, another thing that I know that you do, occasionally you get calls to take people to the airport or meet people at airports?
This is a growing operation in the past 2 or 3 years where we have people coming and going from planes from like Paso Robles or Santa Maria, and it's getting so it's almost a daily operation to get these people to and from their planes. They'll go out maybe today and come back tomorrow, or maybe come back in a week or something like that. So this is all handled by student drivers.
And I guess once in a while somebody takes out a state vehicle and has a breakdown someplace, is that right? And you have to rescue them?
Yes, we have some of that. Where we are traveling so many miles, regardless of how well we try to keep everything going 100% perfect, why we will fall down on the job once in a while. But all in all, why we have very few breakdowns.
You recall the longest trip that you had to make to haul in a disabled car someplace?
Oh, I would say somewhere around 200 mile. That would be about it.
Generally speaking, they can get repairs made in a local garage or something, or
that
in
is
a
right.
highway
yeah.
division point, and,
yeah,
and
we,
get in.
We have a pretty good setup with the automotive management in the state garages. We can get help there, or through the highway commission. They're very nice, too, to help.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, I understand that you have developed as a sort of a hobby and a service the development of mechanical equipment to assist and aid people with some crippling ailment or crippling condition. And I understand that you're going to pursue this on a service basis at home. Could you tell me a little bit about this, Jim?
Well, I've done some of it in the past, not as much as I'd like to. I don't know just how much I'll do, but I still feel that I'd like to continue to help some of these children. And I think as time goes along, I'll get a little better equipped to do this, and I feel that it'll be of some good service to some of these young people, and it's rewarding to me.
Jim, would this be things that would help them move about from one place to another, or things that they would use in the home, or some of both?
It could be both, whatever it could do to assist in this child.
Could you tell me about some of the things that you have done already, what they were for?
Well, it has the past, the few things that I've done, it's been in regard to helping with a brace or helping make up something for a child to move around in, but I haven't done as much as I'd like to have been able
and
to.
And you're going
to
develop this at home, Jim?
Yes, it'd be what I could
do. In your basement, is it, or garage?
Well, I will have facilities there that will help to take care of these things.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, I know that you like to travel and have been able to do some travel, and you have a trailer, and you want to work that into your retirement here, I guess?
Yes, we do hope to do quite a lot of traveling, and I'm sure we will. It'll be another month or two before we get underway, but we will be out quite a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm. I know that you've been as far north as Fairbanks and as far south as Mexico City. Do you have some areas of the United States that you haven't seen and would like to get into?
Well, we've made a trip across the United States, but we would like to have more time. And with the present setup, I won't have to be back to work that next month, so we can take an extra month or two if we need. So we will be able to cover some of the places that we would like to have done before and like to spend more time at some of them that we did go to before.
Mm-hmm. And Jim, you have a son in Alaska now?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And what's his profession?
He's in the ministry, and he's been up there now for going on his fourth year.
Mm-hmm. And he likes it up there?
Yes, they have asked for another three-year extension, which would they had their 3 years, and now they're in their into the fourth year.
Mm-hmm. And do I understand he's at Sitka now, is he?
No, he's at, he has been, Ketchikan is where he is at the present time.
Oh, yes. He started in at Petersburg,
that's
is that right,
right?
Mm-hmm. And is at Ketchikan. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you have two other children?
Yes, we have Beverly, our daughter, which is Beverly Morrow, and they have three little daughters. And then we have our youngest son, Jack, and he is married, and he lives here in San Luis Obispo.
Mm-hmm. So you get to see the grandchildren quite often, do you?
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have them right here close to us. We really get to see them practically every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, you actually officially retired, I guess, on January the 1st here. And is that right?
That is right.
So you are joined us old codgers,
that's
have you?
Right.
Don't have anything to do now. Well, go ahead.
I still think that I'm still on vacation, but I will realize that I am retired, I think, pretty soon.
Well, Jim, you're the kind of a fellow I know that will never lack for interests and things to do and places to see. And I know that over all of your years at Cal Poly, you've made hundreds and hundreds of friends and student and faculty. I know that you had a tremendously difficult job to try to keep everybody happy, but I would certainly say from my own knowledge and experience that you've done just as good a job as anybody humanly could, and I'm sure that you're going to enjoy your retirement, and I guess you plan to stay here in San Luis Obispo.
That is why, right, my wife and I, we'll continue where we are living, and
that is, unless you get some rheumatism, is that right?
Well, it's going to have to hurry if it's going to get here. I think I've got that whipped.
Well,
I think Jim Merson fixed that.
Real good. This has been a program planned by the Faculty Staff Council of interviews with distinguished retired staff members, this interview has been recorded by George P. Cooper.